It's Friday, September 3rd, 2021, and this is What's the Point? On the show this week, are black voices being heard by the Peel Regional Police Services Board? And a lot of people didn't like what they heard from Brampton Mayor Patrick Brown recently at a virtual event. To talk about that with this week's virtual in-studio guest is your host, Joel Whitnable.
This week, we're going to be talking about a pair of very serious issues in the region of Peel, something the Pointer has been reporting on throughout this week. And I want to welcome Dave Bosveld to join us this week to talk about these issues. He's kind of central in both. So thank you, Dave, for joining us.
The first issue that I want to talk about, that we're going to talk about today, deals with the Police Services Board and really sort of a fumbled request from the community, where the Police Services Board really had an easy opportunity to offer and create some really good connections with the Black communities in Peel, and they really have dropped the ball. After that, we'll move into a discussion about some pretty terrible remarks made by Brampton Mayor Patrick Brown. But Dave, let's start with the Police Services Board. Back in April, it was your request to the board to form an anti-Black racism advisory panel. And your reasoning behind that was you felt that Black voices were not being represented around the table at the Police Services Board, and they do not have a Black member. Can you tell me, when you wrote that letter, did you have high expectations that this would be something that the board would be willing to do?
Actually, I did. And good morning, Joel. I thought that would be a relatively straightforward request and that people would be able to see rather easily a certain perspective, the Black community's perspective, was missing from that board. And conversely, it's Black community members that are impacted by negative interactions with the Peel Regional Police to, I think, an extent 3.5 times greater than our actual representation in the population. So it goes without saying that the significant issues with the Peel Regional Police and Black community aren't able to be addressed by that oversight board without that lived experience and that voice being part of that process. So I thought it was a relatively straightforward request, uncomplicated and necessary, and Executive Director Serpy sort of thought differently.
That's something I really want to emphasize. I think before, you know, you made your request, your initial request in April, and at that point, we already knew it had been happening across the world, really, but in Peel, specifically in the GTA, we knew that Black communities were being impacted with the negative interactions with police more so than any other race. When we look at the carding data, when that issue was really exploding a few years back, and analysis showed that Black people were being stopped much more than anybody else. And now we have the most recent data from Peel Regional Police. And this is the first year that in their use of force data that they're actually recording the race of the individuals in those incidents. And that's been mandated by the province. And this data is on the same agenda last week as your request or the report that came in response to your request. And that data shows that in use of force incidences in 2020, Black people were involved in 35% of those incidences, despite only representing less than 10% of Peel's population. And it's a vastly disproportionate representation in that negative interactions with police. And I think it's something that all the police board members really did. I won't say all. A few of the police board members did comment on, and the chief said it's something that they're really looking at trying to address, whether that's through training or, you know, practical changes with the operations. But it really just emphasizes that your request now is more pertinent than ever. And it makes the recommendation in Robert Serpe, the executive director of the Police Services Board, it makes the recommendation in his report just seem that much more tone deaf, to say that, no, we don't need this, that, no, there is not a gap that needs to be filled by having an advisory panel, despite the fact that you have this data clearly showing that there's significant issues that the Peel Regional Police need to address. And despite the fact that you have several members of the community asking for this, asking for representation at the board. And Dave, I think one of the things that the report touched on and that is a little bit confusing for people is we have these different advisory panels. And this is something that the, you know, the city of Brampton has one of these for their organization. The city of Mississauga has one for their organization. And Mayor Crombie says she has her own that helps advise her on certain decisions. And that sort of reasoning was used by Serpe in his report to say there's all of these existing places where individuals can get this advice. That's why we don't need one for the Police Services Board. But I know that you have a significant issue with that. Can you explain why you believe that this panel specifically for the Police Services Board is absolutely critical?
I find the advisory panels that Mayor Crombie and Mayor Brown have created to be a starting point for discussions about all things related to their respective cities. But the police is sort of a separate institution. We're not reflected or represented in the power positions and the leadership positions. And so the ultimate push really is not for another advisory panel, although that would be a good interim measure to gain some perspective and to learn about the lived experience of Black community members. But the real truth is we need a position on the board, at least one position on the board. And when we look at the mayor's advisories in Brampton and Mississauga, we have to understand for the topics or the criticism that can be levied, the groups are set up by the mayor, by both mayors and their staff, and people can be invited to the group or disinvited from the group at their whim, right? So there's really no power in these advisories. They take up people's time. People are certainly passionate about what senior elected officials, but I think power imbalance and the very makeup of these advisories is determined by the mayors themselves. So we wanted to have an advisory panel on anti-Black racism specific to the police services board. So the governance, the hiring and firing of the police chief, the budget are two main areas that the police services board impacts. We feel that our voice isn't present there, and the mayor's Black advisory in Brampton or Mississauga doesn't deal specifically with that or those issues. So that's where our voice is needed. And I think it's a really false argument to say, well, the mayors are sort of getting Black people's perspectives in other areas. Like, we're talking about all things related to the city of Mississauga and the city of Brampton in those advisories. And the police services board, we're talking about something more specific, like police governance.
I think in these circumstances, the more you can hear from the community, the better. And I don't understand an argument that would say, oh, we have one in the city of Brampton, we have one in the city of Mississauga. When it comes to these sorts of things, we've seen over the last year and a half how significant or how crucial it is for police organizations to not only be representative of their community, but be connected to the community. And to essentially shut down a request from the community that would really be inexpensive. It wouldn't cost a lot of money to set up this panel. And it would be on a volunteer basis, so you wouldn't be paying these individuals. They just want a seat at the table to be able to offer their opinions, to be offer their thoughts on crucial issues when it comes to policing. And to shut it down is just clearly another example of the police services board defending the status quo. And I think that's kind of very disheartening, I think is a nice way to put it. This is something that, unfortunately, is very much indicative of something that has been observed at the Peel Regional Police and among police leadership in Peel previously. We had the big scathing diversity audit by the Canadian Center for Diversity and Inclusion that came out in 2019 that really described the Peel Regional Police organization and police leadership as change averse, as defenders of the status quo, and as, you know, the senior leadership that did not realize that systemic discrimination, systemic racism were serious problems within the police organization, despite the fact that many on the front lines and many in the community were telling them and clearly saying that it was a big problem. Dave, for you, as someone who continues to advocate for these sorts of things, how do you get some of these police leaders who, especially on the police services board, you have a passionate delegation from a member of the community demanding this committee? You have your lengthy and detailed written deputation to the board explaining all of the problems with Serpe's report and requesting that the recommendation be denied and that this panel be set up. How do you convince some of these members to take these things seriously? They don't ask any questions about the delegation or the report. They wait until the end, and then all they do is they praise themselves for all of the great work that they're doing, despite the fact that there's members of the community telling them that there's serious issues with what they're doing. How do you turn this around? How do you make that switch flip in some people's brains to actually start to understand that this is a significant issue that needs more attention?
For starters, I guess they defer to decision, so they have some time to get some more information. So Councillor Medeiros, who I had spoken to, you know, he seems to understand this issue and the importance. He said directly that he would be assisted if he was able to have this type of guidance. It would help him in his work on the board. And so maybe those comments and those questions from him will lead some of the other members to look inside of themselves and say, you know, maybe he's right. So there's a little bit of time here. Community members, I know, are planning more deputations, speaking out on social media and even in forums like this podcast, trying to explain the issue, because these, look, not everybody is into watching and attending police services board meetings, but if people did tune in, I think they would be surprised to see the lack of attention to detail from some of the board members. I think they would form the same impression that I formed watching the meeting, that perhaps some of the members didn't read the entire package or understand the issue. And that exactly highlights the need for an advisory. So if they don't want to do their homework and really look deeply into the request that the community has made and understand it, then maybe an advisory panel could do some of that work for them.
And Dave, there's a couple elements of what the Regional Police are doing in their work to address anti-Black racism and diversity and inclusion. And these are obviously separate. I want to make that clarification that, you know, we have the Police Services Board that advises the Peel Regional Police, and the Peel Regional Police are working. They have a partnership with the Ontario Human Rights Commission, and they have brought on a few experts, professors, one of whom actually spoke at that Police Services Board meeting and recommended that the board actually form that committee, raising the fact that it was desperately needed after labeling the use of force data, quote unquote, deeply troubling. Is it encouraging for you to see both, you know, the Peel Regional Police bringing on these experts to advise them on these issues? And I know that we, you know, we're still waiting for more information about what this partnership that the Police Services Board repeatedly quoted as being sort of this big ultimate solution to address a lot of these anti-Black racism issues. But we still don't have any data or any information about what that partnership is going to look like. We're still waiting to see that. What are your thoughts on all of that? I know that it was brought up repeatedly last week. I'm skeptical about that whole partnership because we still don't have any information. And I'm wondering what you or what members of the community are feeling about that.
Well, first of all, community members weren't part of that tripartite agreement. To date, there's supposed to be an anti-racism advisory panel within the construct of the Memorandum of Understanding with the OHRC, but we don't know who the members are. We don't know the terms of reference. And it's been just 1 month short of a year since that announcement. I'm afraid that what's being constructed behind the scenes without real authentic community involvement is not going to suffice. Dr. Ekwesi Owusu-Bempah was the expert that Peel Regional Police brought in to advise them. And you're right, he was very clear at the Police Services Board meeting why that's problematic and why that doesn't begin to resolve the issues of anti-Black racism, right? They're separate. So when you bring in diversity and inclusion, you bring in different abilities, different genders, different sexual orientations, different ethnicities, and different races, including white men, for example, right? That's diversity and inclusion. What we're talking about specifically is that Peel Regional Police, from carding all the way up until the most recent report that demonstrates that Black community members are 3.5 times more likely to be at the receiving end of harmful interactions with Peel Police, the answer is that anti-Black racism is the issue that needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed in all pillars of the organization. You can't just silo it out and say, well, you know, we're dealing with it over here and we've got a committee over here. Every bastion of that organization needs to take a thorough introspective look at their relationship with Black community members. And the best way to do that would be to hear the voice of Black community members.
Certainly. And I think that that's something, again, that we've, you know, we've gone over repeatedly here. And I think it's made obvious that the need is there, especially when you look, like I said, you look at the data with the use of force. And that is something that the professor quoted and pointed to when he made, you know, his recommendation to form this committee against what the report said. We'll move on to another issue that is separate, but also very much connected to the Police Services Board and that recommendation. And this is comments made by Brampton Mayor Patrick Brown, or later in August, at a function that Dave, that you are a founding member of the Black Education Fund, that offers scholarships to Black students, and you're having this celebration at the end of August to hand out these scholarships to deserving students. And as is typical with these events, the mayor was there to speak and had a very unfortunate slip of the tongue and labeled the city of Brampton the city of Browntown. And immediately he backpedaled and corrected himself to the city of Brampton. But the damage, I think, was already done. And members of the community immediately asked for an apology for these comments. And since that time, the mayor has refused to apologize and denied that he said these comments, despite the fact that you can listen to the recording. And it is very clear what he said. And so, Dave, you talk to me. I know that there's a lot that happened between August 22nd, when the event happened, and when the video was later released. You, as an organization, gave the mayor time to apologize. And that's really all you were looking for. There was no intent behind it. Can you explain, I guess, your sort of reaction when the comment was made and sort of the experience that you had trying to essentially ask for something, an apology that seems very simple in a circumstance like this?
I'd be happy to. I mean, first, the event that we held was to celebrate Black student success and 8 wonderful applicants who were awarded a scholarship out of 225 applicants for the BEF scholarship. So we were happy to have the mayor in attendance, and he made his remarks, which we appreciated, but he had a slip up. Nobody accused him of being a racist. Nobody said that he did this intentionally. But as the host of the event, I had community members coming to me saying, what are you going to do about this? That's not acceptable. You know, it was raised in the chat, and it was raised by my own steering committee members of the Black Education Fund. So I said, well, let's get an apology. I didn't think it was an unreasonable request. And I went through the mayor's senior advisor to say, you know, can we get the mayor to apologize? And she denied that he said what we all heard him say. So that was a little bit troubling, but I said, look, can you get back to the mayor and find out if he's willing to apologize to our group? And she said, sure, no problem. And after that, she came back with the suggestion that I tell people that the mayor mumbled or murmured, and if they still have an issue, they can contact her directly. This is Frances Bradshaw. And I said, well, I'm not willing to speak on behalf of the mayor, but I'll send people your way. And I think maybe 5 or 10 people reached out to her in writing and expressed their concerns with the comment. They didn't receive a response. The mayor, Francis, my steering committee, so that the mayor can understand the impact of his comments and why we're asking for an apology. And if necessary, we can even replay the video recording so he can hear his comments again and understand what it sounds like. And I didn't hear anything further back from the mayor, from Francis, or from the mayor's office for about 4 or 5 days. And to date, we haven't received an apology. And then the newspaper article came out regarding the comments, and I was removed from the mayor's Black advisory chat group as a result of that. So it just struck me as an attempt to silence my voice and avoid apologizing for something that certainly was unintentional, but that's an opportunity to really talk about, you know, the stigmas around our city. And this is the highest elected official in our city. He's the person who needs to represent all of the city citizens of Brampton, and he messed up, and that's okay. We give grace. That's why we waited a week. That's why we simply asked for an apology. At the point at which it was clear that they no longer wished to engage on that issue and they weren't going to offer an apology, we had no choice but to release the video. And now well over 1,000 people have seen the comments and they can make their own assessment of what he said. But we've been told by the mayor's office that he did not say Browntown. And that's a slap in the face because we know what we heard. And that's what he said, mistaken or not. He has an opportunity to own it. And he's chosen instead to deny it, make excuses for it, refuse to apologize, and ultimately subjected myself and other members of the community to the retribution of being removed from the mayor's Black advisory group.
The most troubling thing is all that needed to do was 2 words. He just could have apologized immediately afterwards, which I think would have been the normal reaction from anybody if it was a slip of the tongue. If you had just immediately stopped and said, oh my God, I'm horrified. I'm so sorry that I said that. This is a non-issue. I don't think anybody is accusing the mayor of being a racist. You made a mistake and now you just need to correct it. And then just to double down and almost gaslight the community saying, no, I didn't say that, despite the fact that you listened to the video and it's very clear that you did say that. The biggest issue that I have is that this is really a pattern of behavior with this mayor. We see him in this circumstance deny doing something that clearly he has done. You listen to that video, like I've said before, and it's very clear that he says that offensive slur against the city of Brampton. But there's other times that the Pointer has reported where he's caught in a lie. You know, we had the Rebel News media report where the Rebel News caught him at the ice rink and he said, oh, no, I'm here just checking on the facility, despite the fact that there's a hockey bag there with his name on it filled with hockey equipment and people saying that, oh, yeah, the mayor plays with us. Among many other misleading claims that the mayor made after that video came out, if you are committed to diversity and inclusion, and you're committed to all of the things that the mayor says he is committed to better the city of Brampton, this is not what you do. You don't double down and deny that you made an offensive statement. The community says you've hurt people. All we want is an apology, but then you continue to not apologize and continue to say that, no, I didn't say that, despite the fact that you did. It smacks of, and like you said, David, is a slap in the face to these communities. It smacks of someone who really doesn't care. That this is not a priority for them. They don't care what the city of Brampton thinks. He doesn't care what the residents think. Because if you did, if you really cared about these people, if you really cared about this city, you would immediately apologize. And your initial instinct would have been to apologize after saying that. Because it would have hurt you. Calling the city that slur should hurt you if you really care about this city. But clearly, the proof is in the pudding. He's continued to deny it. He's continued to not apologize. And it really is sickening that this continues to happen. And that we don't have a mayor who cares about the city of Brampton. And Dave, I'm not sure if there's been any update or if even after these stories have come out, if the mayor has reached out to you or said anything. I know you've been removed from his advisory sort of group. These are community voices that the mayor has brought into sort of a chat application to be able to communicate with him.
Where do you see things going from here? Are other community members still going to push Brown to apologize for his comments? All of it just seems to pile up again on what I've already said, that this is just a mayor who wants to deny and deflect from any wrongdoing. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on that.
The key is our communities have very diverse voices, some more critical than others. But, you know, there are people in our communities that feel like the mayor made a mistake and he should be given grace. And there's bigger issues like the police, the school board, hiring at City Hall, for example. I'm of a little bit of a different mindset. You got to remember the event that we held was also handing out a scholarship in memoriam of Kola Ilimade, a fierce activist. And sometimes I say, what would have Kola done? Would he have accepted derogatory comment like that, intentional or not, at an event to celebrate Black children? And the answer is, he would not, and nor should the rest of us. That being said, an apology is a really simple way of resolving it. The way it's escalated to the silencing, the removal from the group, I know there are community members that are also upset about that. And I know that there are community members that think that we should sort of just allow for this comment. But I ask myself, if, for example, the mayor was in a room full of South Asians and he referred to Brampton as Monkey Town, would we expect the South Asian community to let that slide? And the answer is no. We would expect them, in solidarity with us, to say, hey, that's a slur that's offensive to the Black community. We need an apology. And so there's no other way to skin the cat than to say that people who don't understand intent and impact can't do equity work. They can't do meaningful work to eradicate anti-Black racism. So certainly the mayor was gracious on a Sunday evening to attend our event and to make remarks. But when he made the misstep of referring to our city as Brown Town and quickly correcting himself, he needed to own that, apologize for it, and let everybody move forward. And now what has it done? It's taken away from the Black Education Fund. It's taken away from the Black students. And it's been a really divisive moment for Brampton. Like you said, he could just say, look, I'm horrified that came out of my mouth. It wasn't intentional. And I'm sorry for the people that are harmed by this comment. And he could have even gone further to say, Brampton is stigmatized in many ways across the province. And it's under-resourced by different levels of government. And that very stigma associated with those two words creates some of the difficulties that we have in building our cities. So he, of all people, as a senior elected official, would know that better than anybody. I'm not going to ascribe any type of racism to the mayor of Brampton, but I am going to say that he's a bit tone deaf for not understanding the importance of hearing the voices of people who say they were offended, apologizing, and moving forward.
Yeah, to close, what both of these stories, I think, show the significant issue in both is that we have leaders who are unwilling to really take the accountability or the responsibility to address these issues. And when you refuse to apologize for a harmful statement, whether it was intentional or not, and when you refuse to take opportunities to connect with communities like this police services board that could have with the Black community, you're just perpetuating, whether that's the stigma in Brampton or the anti-Black racism that is occurring within policing, by refusing to take these opportunities, refusing to own up and take accountability, you're just perpetuating these systems that continue to harm the diverse communities in Peel and in cities across the world. Until we have leaders that are willing to take that accountability or take that responsibility, we're going to continue to see these issues. And that's really unfortunate. But Dave, thank you so much for joining us on What's the Point today. I know that you're very busy and you're very active in the community. So thank you for all the work that you do.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And we'll see you next week.
This week's show was hosted by Joel Whitnable, produced by yours truly. Music from Shahed. Check out new episodes of What's the Point weekly here at thepointer.com. I'm Jeff Chalmers. Thank you for listening. See you next time.